Finally, I understand that some folks didn't appreciate my comments last week about the Rush Limbaugh-Michael Steele dust-up. It's interesting that some people rushed to defend Rush rather than consider my larger point about what Michael Steele is trying to accomplish as the new chairman of the GOP, to make it clear, however inelegantly, that the doors to the party are now open. That makes me think I need to say more about that larger point. So here goes. What I'm trying to say is that most people should have realized by now that the Republicans have reached more or less their upper limit of representation by focusing on their traditional post-civil rights era constituencies, conservative whites, mainly men, mainly in the South, West, and Midwest. The logical growth opportunities for the party are the same people who are expanding the country's population overall: racial minorities, blacks, Asians, and Latinos. Together, these groups are already the majority in major cities like New York, Dallas, Houston, and Los Angeles. And together, they will likely comprise the majority of the country's citizens in another generation. To expand their numbers, Republicans have to get over what has been a long-standing reflex dating back to the civil rights movement, indifference, and what sometimes comes across as an almost reflexive cultural hostility to minorities that continues to undermine the party's underlying values. Now, those values are supposed to be individual freedom, maximizing opportunity, and minimizing government. Last week, I talked about how a growing minority middle class should be ripe for such an appeal. I pointed out that the number of African Americans with graduate degrees has nearly doubled in a decade, and that until this recent downturn, minorities, especially minority women, have exceeded the rate of whites in launching small businesses. These are people who should be open to Republican arguments about why it's best for families and communities for the government to back off so they can create wealth and take care of their own obligations as they see fit. So why do so many minority Americans continue to give unflinching support to Democrats? Maybe because they know stories like the one told by history professor Beryl Satter in the new book, Family Properties: Race, Real Estate, and the Exploitation of Black Urban America. It details her family's experience with redlining, how pre-1965 Federal Housing Administration policies, along with racist credit practices that were tolerated by federal regulators, conspired to exclude blacks from obtaining mortgages and buying homes in areas they could otherwise afford. As a consequence, blacks were crowded into a few neighborhoods. That, in turn, subjected those neighborhoods to the stresses of overcrowding, as well as diminishing the opportunities for the kind of cross-racial relationships and coalition building that could have changed that. And it has to be said that whites had every incentive to flee neighborhoods once blacks began to buy, even if they had no personal objection to living in integrated neighborhoods, because the whole neighborhood's credit worthiness would be downgraded by the presence of black homeowners. Let's be clear. These were the policies of the U.S. government and its major lending institutions. And this is not ancient history. It was the reality of my parents' generation, with consequences that reverberate to this day because millions of people were denied the opportunity to build wealth and maximize opportunities because of the color of their skin. Why does this matter? Because a legacy of persistent, profound, legally enforced, culturally sanctioned discrimination does not end overnight, or even over a generation. And when minorities try to talk about the best way to end that legacy of discrimination, they are too often dismissed by people like, yes, Rush Limbaugh, as whining, as unwilling to pull their weight. But facts, as Ronald Reagan used to say, are stubborn things. And as Beryl Satter's important book makes clear, all citizens deserve to see their government and their neighbors squarely face the legacy of that kind of discrimination. And that's a conversation that must be taken seriously by both political parties. And that's our program for today. And before we go, we'd like to welcome member-supported station 90.7 KWMU in St. Louis. Welcome. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.